We're glad you're here today. We began a new series last week entitled Time Has Come. And our verse for this series is from 2 Corinthians 6:2. It says, "Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Operative word there, now. Now is when God wants to move. He wants to move in your life. He wants to do things for you. Now, today's message is entitled, "It's Time to Take Responsibility." How about that? I wonder if any parent has had a similar discussion with their children in recent days. Anybody? No, of course, y'all never have that kind of discussion because you have perfect little darlings that always do everything just right. Well, the passage that we're going to look at today comes from Acts chapter 3, if you want to turn there. Well, I ask you several questions. Several questions that will be answered. I hope the Lord will answer these for you today. First question. What is important to you? What's important to you? What are the important things, people, whatever, in your life? What's important to you? Because it matters. Now, I know we're kind of in a transition time. It's one of those transition times in the year. School is starting back. You know, there's a switch that's taking place. Labor Day will be kind of an official switch that'll take place. And people will be in a different mindset. What's important to you in your life? Second question. Who makes a difference in your life? Who are the people that are important to you? Who matters to you? Third question. What do you value? What things that are of value to you? What are your values? Fourth question. Where do those values come from? What's the source of them? What's the foundation? Now, there's not been some mystical process of osmosis that's taken place here. That these values just suddenly just seeped up through the ground and grabbed you one day. There's been a process in your life that's gone on whereby those values came to you. Where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? Now, key verse for today, if you'll back up to that, John. Our key verse today is from Acts chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, "And they brought in the two disciples and demanded, 'By what power or in whose name have you done this?'" Now, there is a collision of values that's taking place in our world right now. Would you agree with that? We see it every day. You can't dodge it. Did you know that Osama bin Laden has values? But they're different. They're different. Now, the passage of Scripture that I'm going to read to you today is a passage that shows a collision of values that takes place between several groups of people. So I want you to pay close attention. Beginning chapter 3, I'm going to read this from the New Living. Just try to listen to this story. It's a beautiful story. Now, Pentecost has taken place. The Holy Spirit of God has come. He's baptized His church. Over 3,000 people came to know the Lord on that day. And then they were thrust out into the world, and they went back to their lands and all. And it was at that point in time, it is the greatest missionary outburst that has ever taken place in the earth. As all those people went back to their lands on fire, because Jesus, the very Spirit of Jesus, had come up to take up residence in them. His power. Now Peter and John are in Jerusalem. It's kind of like that old story. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we'll hear Peter and John in their story. Here it is. And Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people that were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Got the picture in your mind? How many times do you think they've passed by this place before now? A bunch. They passed by this guy. He's lame from birth. He's been at that same place again and again. Suddenly they notice him. And Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. What do you think he expected? A little jingle jangle. See, by the way, a little lesson, this isn't a sermon for today. We think we know what to ask God for sometime. Did that man even know what to ask God for that day? Did he even know? He was asking for money. For money. Peter says to him, "I don't have any money for you." Can you imagine how his countenance sank? "But I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What do you think happened? He did. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand. He helped him up, and as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. Do you see how God did this creative miracle in this man that involved all these people? He jumped up, he's still on his feet, he began to walk, and then walking, leaping, and praising God. Remember that little song? We learned in preschool, many of us. Walking and leaping and praising God. He went to the temple with them, and all the people saw him walking, and they heard him praising God. And when they realized that he was a lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. Now, it took some time for some of the people to realize who he was because they weren't accustomed to seeing him at this level. They'd only seen him at this level. They didn't know what the rest of his body looked like. Imagine it now. Everything changes. When the power of God comes, things change. And they all rushed out to Solomon's colonnade, where he was holding tightly to Peter and John. Can you imagine that embrace? And everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful thing that had happened. Now Peter, being the preacher that he was, knew that this was a perfect opportunity to preach the gospel. And so that's what the rest of chapter 3 is, as he preaches the gospel to those people. And in verse 16 is an important verse. He says there, "The name of Jesus has healed this man. You know how lame he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has caused this healing before your very eyes." Now go on to chapter 4 with me. Now you would think that everybody would be excited about it, right?
The man's healed. The power of God has been shown. Who could be upset about this? Let's read on. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to them. They were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that there was a resurrection of the dead. And they arrested them. And since it was already evening, jailed them until morning, but many of the people who heard their message believed it. Now get this. So that the number of believers totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So do you see the church is blossoming now? For the power of God, well, up to 3,000, now up to 5,000. And depending on how you count the text, there are at least 2,000 more, but you could also read this text to mean that there were 5,000 on top of the 3,000. Imagine it. They're in jail, and the gospel's going out through all these people. It's like wildfire. The next day, the council and the rulers, the elders, the teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. Any of these names strike a familiar note to you? These were people all that are referred to in Scripture at times before who had doubted the claims of Jesus. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" See the clash of values here? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders and elders of our nation, are we being questioned because we've done a good deed today for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to you and to all the people of Israel, he was healed in the name and the power of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, the man you crucified, but the man that God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one that is referred to in the Scriptures where it says, 'The stone that the builders rejected now has become the chief cornerstone.'" Don't you hate it when they drag Scripture into it? And just show these guys through the Old Testament that he's the fulfillment. There's salvation in no one else. There's no other name in heaven for people to call on to save them. So the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness in Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men. They had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Key phrase there. They'd been with Jesus. But since the man who had been healed was standing right there before them, the council had nothing to say. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great preacher of the 19th century, calls that the golden muzzle. The golden muzzle. They had nothing to say because the healed man was standing there. So they sent Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. They've got a problem now. What are we going to do with these guys? People are getting saved right and left. Now, that isn't what they said. They see all this fervor going on. They see a healed man. What can they do? Do they keep them in jail and make it worse? Do you see the position that they're in? What should we do with these men, they asked. We can't deny they've done a miraculous sign. Everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. Why? Because everybody knew this man. But perhaps we can stop them from spreading this propaganda. We'll warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name. Now, how do you think that's going to work out? Huh? So they called the apostles back in, told them never to speak again or teach about Jesus. Book closed, right? Peter and John went out and shut up. Went into obscurity, went out to the desert, never spoke another word about Jesus. Right? No. But Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you or him?" Which one? Do you see? They're trapping the intelligentsia with their own reasoning. It's a beautiful story. Because they're just ordinary men. They're fishermen. They've not been trained in all of these. They don't have all of these degrees and been around. But they have been with Jesus. We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we've seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for 40 years. Isn't that a great story? Power of God. All right, now I want us to see how this is a collision of values. You had the values of Peter and John. God has changed their lives. And they are colliding with their world. They're colliding with the religious system of their world. And by the way, God's never been into religion. He's not about religion. Religion, by definition, is man's way of making it up to God. That's not the gospel. The gospel is God coming to man. That's what Jesus did in the flesh. First thing here. Values are not optional equipment for life. Peter and John, they had been changed by Jesus. They were no longer the same. Number two. There is an inevitable collision of values in life, isn't there? You could see it from the beginning of this story. You knew this story was going to come to a collision of values. That's why every time we see a person come to know Jesus, we pray for them as they go back into their world, back into their workplace, back into their neighborhood, back into their physical family situation, because we know there's going to be a collision of values, because you're putting a changed person in a world that is unchanged. And you're going to rub, you're going to collide, you're going to run into each other. Number three. These values have a foundation. What were the values of Peter and John founded upon? Truth. Jesus. The power of God. They had seen God revealed to them. They had seen it in the flesh. They didn't have to go read a book about it. They saw the power of God. It changed them. And changed the people around them. Number four. Values are going to order your life, aren't they? Did values order Peter and John's life? Change them. How many times had they passed by that lame man, you reckon? Every time they went to the temple, they'd pass by this guy. They'd never seen him the way they saw him this day. How about him? How about this man? Did values change his life? Don't you think he was thankful that God had changed Peter and John? Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He did. His life was changed. But more than being changed physically, he was changed spiritually. He was saved. God snatched him out of his old life. But look at on the other side. The religious intelligentsia of the day. At the end of the day, they're still arguing with it. They're still clashing with it. They're still trying to find a way to stamp it out. Do you see that happening around you? Does it happen in America? Better believe it. So much for your values, we want to stomp them out. But remember our illustration last week? What happens when you go to stomp it out? Bam! Those sparks fly. And need is like dry tinder. All it needs is a spark, and then it lights up. And there's plenty of need around us. Okay. Here's the change that must come. Your values, whatever they are showing right now. Whether you want them to or not. Who you are, what you're about, what you value in life, and who you value in life is being broadcast to the world every day. You are not living a secret life. People know. You can't hide your values. They reveal who you are, but more importantly, they reveal whose you are, to whom you belong. And these values reveal who matters in your life. The change that must come. It's time for you to own the responsibility for your life. It's time. The time has come. Quit fooling around. Quit skirting around the truth. Quit messing around with everything. It's time to own responsibility for your life. You can't blame anybody else. You know, there comes a point in time, and I realize we've all had problems that we need to deal with from the past, but it's time to own the choices in our lives today and begin to do something about it. You see, that's what that man, that lame man, was faced with. That's what the Jewish council was faced with. But see, they weren't willing to own responsibility. They weren't willing, when faced with the truth, they decided to lie to themselves. How many of us here are still lying to ourselves every day? Second thing. It's time to become a true disciple of Jesus. What is a disciple by definition? He is a follower. She is a follower. She is one who has submitted herself to another and is following that person. Have you ever made that commitment to Jesus? I'm not talking about have you joined so-and-so's church, or do you do religious things, or do you attend something? You know, just because I go into a garage doesn't make me a car. I mean, What I'm asking you, have you received Jesus into your life and allowed Him to radically change you? See, we all have a sin problem. We all have we're separated from God. And we need Jesus, who has bridged the gap through His death on the cross in our place. Have you received Him into your life? Have you received the ultimate love gift of all time? By asking the Lord Jesus to come and take up residence in you. Have you done that? If you haven't, you can today. You ask Him to come into your life. Part B question on that number two is, are you living like you're a true disciple? Maybe it's time for you to grow up. Maybe it's time to start acting on what you say you believe. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to get serious. Let me ask you this. Are things getting serious in our world today? Now, I hope you didn't shake your head this way. Because if you did, you're an idiot. You haven't read the paper? You're not looking at what's happening around you? It's time to wake up and smell the coffee. Our world is headed for a conclusion. Jesus is coming back. We need to get ready. And we need to get everyone ready around us. It's time to get serious about the plan and purpose of God in this life. God has a purpose for you. You, even you. No matter how much the world has done it to you in the past and has tried to smear His purpose, has tried to keep you down, I want you to know that Jesus will give His resurrection power to you to raise you up and make you a new person. It's time to get serious. Finally, it's time for a change of heart. Change is a very difficult thing, isn't it? Old habits. By the time Jesus comes and gets me, Miss Audrey's going to have me house trained. Where my clothes get picked up and glasses aren't left on the coffee table. Now, 33 years. See, you hear that? 33 years of that. I want to give you a practical example of change in our lives. But all change begins in the heart. Do you want to change? Do you want God to change anything in your life? That was just God's little exclamation point. Turn your hearing aid up a little bit. You can hear my phone going off. You see, those religious leaders refused to change their hearts, even when they were faced with the facts. They stared right into a miracle. Acted like it didn't happen. How about you? How many miracles have you seen? Now maybe you've forgotten them. Maybe you've allowed the devil to reorient your memory. But I guarantee you, you've seen the power of God. You've seen Him do miraculous things. So what are you doing about it? You like the religious leaders? Let's just pretend it didn't happen. Shut it up and maybe it'll go away. But there, as they're trying to shut it up, get this picture. This lame beggar is out there walking and leaping and praising God behind them. Can't you see the picture? It's kind of like we were in Sunday school, little kids, and we had prayer request time. My dad will remember this. Gal was requesting prayer for a brother. Oh, he's bad off sick. He's bad off sick. And there was a window there. And everybody was looking out the window, and the kid that was bad off sick, every time she said bad off sick, he got a little higher on that swing set as he was swinging back and forth and back and forth. You know, it's kind of hard to sell that when you're seeing the evidence to the contrary, isn't it? Allow God to let you see today. The lame man had a changed body, but more than that, what did he have? A changed heart and spirit. That's right. Peter and John were changed because they looked at that man in a different way. They made their choice, and God provided the power. Now listen to me. I realize that's where some of you are today. You're worried about how's it going to happen if I choose that? How's it going to happen? God's going to do it. But you got to let Him. You got to let Him. It's time to take responsibility. Who will you choose? Which way? Which way? In a moment, the altar will be open. I'm not going to do any fancy tricks to get you to come to the altar. Pastors will be here. We'll have several of our life group leaders around ready to pray with you. If you want to come and pray about some things in your life, allow God to do some things, then here it is, wide open to you. If you'd pray this prayer with me today that you receive Jesus in your life, I sure want to know about that today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence and for your power. Thank you, Lord, that today we've not had to doubt whether or not you're here, or that, Lord, that you can do what you say you will do. Praying right now. I'm praying, God, that you will exit the spirit of unbelief from this building. And that today, Lord, we could trust you with our lives. Lord, for some of us that have never received Jesus in our lives today, God, I'm praying that we'll receive you today. Claim you as Savior and Lord. And God, for the rest of us, I pray we'll start living like we belong to the Lord of all. The one who makes the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. But most importantly, the one who snatches us out of destruction and gives us life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will, as we continue to pray. Let me pray one other prayer for us as a body here today. Anybody need someone to pray for you this morning? Need in your life? Something's going on? Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we bring to your feet all the needs. Lord, some of us in this building today are struggling mightily. We've got financial needs. We've got family needs. We've got work-related needs. Lord, there are relationship needs that, Lord, that we can't even describe. Lord, some of us have physical needs. We need healing in our lives, physical healing. And I'm praying today, Lord, for your power to come. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus. Just like you healed that lame man, I'm asking you to apply your power and your strength to each of these needs. We trust you with all of this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God bless you. Go in God's grace.